Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben Crenshaw. Boy, it's still wet and drizzling, and all I can think of is April showers bring May flowers. You know, you got to have something positive in your mindset, kind of like everybody. Oh, look, all these guys are playing. And, well, let me start off with this. Mark Rolfing, Golf Channel, NBC Sports, golf commentator, analyst, and, of course, host of Golf Hawaii Travel and Global Golf Adventure, a member of the Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame, a member of the DePaul University Hall of Fame. He's with us inside the clubhouse, and I've got to say, Mark, this week, as we're watching the Masters, and I was riveted watching Rory McIlroy, some very well-known contenders didn't make it to the weekend. We'll get them. I'll talk a little bit about that as well. But and just a reminder, the Golf Writers Association of America voted Mark Rolfing, Stacey Lewis, and Bud Cauley, honoring their work. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mark.
Well, thank you, Danielle. It's a real pleasure, and I got to tell you, Wednesday night at Augusta was one of the most magical nights I've ever seen. It was an incredible evening, and one that Debbie Rolfing and I will never forget.
I bet. No, who was the tallest guy on the podium?
Well, Scotty Scheffler was that. It's interesting. I got to spend about an hour with just me and Scotty in the green room where they were taking pictures and doing some things before the ceremony actually started. And that's an opportunity I don't think I would ever otherwise have. And wow, it was really fascinating being able to talk to the greatest player in the world right now. And it's interesting. As I look at him now, he's a couple under par after the round today, but he's 10 shots behind Rory McIlroy. There's still something not quite right with Scheffler.
And boy, that must be tough at the Masters. You know, it's like you want to have all of your guns firing at the same time. Help me. But watching Rory yesterday, birdie, I lost count. How many birdies did he shoot yesterday?
Well, I don't know exactly how many he had. I know he birdied six of the last seven holes.
There you go.
He played just incredible coming in. You know, when I watch him and I see the way he is playing the game and really how different it is from a year ago, it's just clear to me that winning that Masters a year ago and winning the Grand Slam of golf has given him total freedom. There are times in his career when he plays a little too defensive, when he starts laying up on par fives and doing things that are just out of his character. And yesterday, he hit driver on every hole, and I think you'll see him do that the whole rest of the weekend. And when he does that, when he plays that kind of game and just is totally free and using the driver as a weapon, I don't think anybody's going to beat him.
And I was just thinking, boy, I hope he's got it on for the weekend, because this is Tiger Woods, if you don't mind my saying that. The way Tiger played, this is what Rory looks like, only it's Rory, his style. And it's so exciting to watch him. But I'm going to go back just a day, I guess it is. While I was watching Rory, I find out that Jack Nicklaus gave Rory some last-minute words of encouragement.
Don't make any double bogeys. That's advice that I think anybody could have given him. But Rory's taking it to heart. And if you look at the way Rory played, typically his driver is the best part of his game. And he's been terrible in driving accuracy the first 2 days. He's hit it all over North Augusta. And that's the way he is playing. And he's chipping it out from the trees, and he's knocking it on the green and holing butts. So he's playing an unusual kind of game, but it's fun, and the people love watching it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The crowds are in heaven. I would be. And then there, Bob McIntyre, one of golf's most beloved figures, according to Golf Digest. He wouldn't go into the media center. He did something kind of raw. He got so upset. I guess two balls into the pool would do that on the 15th hole, right? A quadruple bogey, I think it was. And he used his hand to display his displeasure. I'm not sure whether it was with himself or the pond. What was your take on that?
I thought it was totally inappropriate.
Yes.
I'm not sure why anybody right now would say that Robert McIntyre is one of the most beloved guys in the game. I don't necessarily think that's the case right now. Robert McIntyre's got a little bit of work to do because he's kind of been acting a little bit more like that the last couple of years as he's gotten higher and higher in the world rankings. And I will tell you this. I know he got reprimanded for that action by the folks at Augusta National. I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know what any penalties. They don't discuss anything like that, but he did get reprimanded. And I think he should go home and watch a tape of the Masters and kind of see what he's missing by not being there this weekend, and also see the way that everybody else is acting, because they're not acting the way he did.
No, exactly. I don't know anyone. I can't think of anyone in the last 30 years or more. I mean, probably going all the way back. Who has ever done anything like that. So it was completely out of, you know, the Masters is the Masters. And there, for instance, when I say there are no phones allowed, there are no phones allowed. And Dumb Danny, myself, I'm always saying, hey, I'm calling up people. Could you be on the show? No, because of the phone policy. Could you be on the show? No, because of the phone policy. You know, none of the people that I talk to in the media want to leave Augusta to be able to use their phone.
It's a very difficult situation, especially if you're trying to conduct some business or meet somebody. Like trying to meet somebody at Augusta National at a certain time that you would coordinate by phone, either a text or a message, you simply can't do that. So you have to find them in the midst of 40,000 people out there, which is kind of difficult. But you know what? There's something charming about it to me. I've seen a lot of situations over a number of decades now where people thought they could circumvent the phone issue. Charlie Reimer tried to do it. He got in trouble. I saw one of our cameramen one time took a break and went out to the restroom and took out his phone to check his messages, and he never came back.
Oh, dear.
He just disappeared. So, you know, but there's something good about that, and there's something wholesome, and I really enjoy people watching golf with their eyes, not with their phone.
Yes, absolutely. The distractions, it distracts people around them, people talking on the phone. It just wouldn't. I was only at the Masters once, and it was on a Wednesday, so it wasn't like I was actually following along. And it was, it's fantastic. It's a dream world. I mean, when you're on Augusta National, you're in another dimension. And it's kind of, you know, we go back to who founded Bobby Jones, Clifford Roberts, 1933. And it seems like 1933 exists forever at Augusta National, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, it really does. And there's two things about the experience at Augusta. There are sights and there are sounds. And when you've got a phone and when you're kind of watching a lot of stuff on a phone and reacting to things on a phone, what you eliminate then is the sounds of Augusta. You're always going to be able to see what's going on, but you're not going to be able to hear it if you're paying attention to your phone. And not having phones out there allows people to sense the sounds that are going on, and that is what's so remarkable about the Masters. You can hear what's going on down at Amen Corner, even if you're on the other corner of the golf course, let's say up by the first green. It really is a phenomenal kind of experience.
Yeah, yeah. It's also interesting to note the change at Augusta National. I guess it's an equipment change, not because the equipment changed over the years, and they've had to lengthen the golf course. Was there a lot of pushback from the members of Augusta National about having to lengthen the course?
I don't know that there was enough pushback by the members to not do it. They had to do it to react to the way the game is playing. Mm. But if you go back to 2 days ago, Fred Ridley, in his chairman's message, he's the chairman of Augusta National said that they absolutely are favoring the rollback of the golf ball.
Huh.
Augusta National is going against the PGA Tour, who is not in favor of rolling the ball back. But the members and the staff at Augusta National are definitely pushing for the rollback. And if I take a look at where the power is in the game of golf right now, there is equally as much power in the group at Augusta National, I think, as there is in the PGA Tour, because they've got the Masters right now.
Yeah, they do. And there's a lot of power in the boardroom, so to speak. It's 7,565 yards right now. And I don't know, there are probably aren't very many courses 7,565, or are they longer?
Well, there are some that are longer, but I'll tell you, if you take a look at the last few days, we have seen a lot of players that have been forced to lay up on holes 13 and 15, the two par fives on the back nine. We've seen a lot of times where guys are driving the ball and they can't reach it in two shots. That's not the way those holes were designed. That's not the way Bobby Jones envisioned
yes.
Augusta National playing. It's not nearly as exciting. And as far as I'm concerned, whether it's 7,500 yards or 7,300 or 7,007, it doesn't matter. But what does matter is you've got to give the players who hit a really good tee shot a chance to reach those exciting holes in two shots. That's what makes the Masters.
Yes, and that's why watching Rory McIlroy yesterday was riveting. Riveting is the only, every time he hit that off the tee using that driver, it was, and then he made history, I think, at the Masters this year, taking a record-setting six-stroke lead after 36 holes with a 12-under-par score. Yeah, I mean,
that's a big lead, but I'll tell you what, this Masters is not over yet, Danielle. Everybody's talking about, well, McIlroy might win by 10 shots. He could, but I will tell you, if you take a look at that leaderboard and the guys that are sitting there right now, at 6 under par, 5 under par, Tommy Fleetwood really, I think, is a scary-looking chaser because it's not so much how many shots behind you are at Augusta National, it's how many players you have to pass. And even though you may be 6 or 7 shots behind, if you don't have to pass any more than one player, you never know. We saw what happened to McIlroy in 2011 when he melted down and shot 40 on the backside.
Yes.
And blew his chance to win. I mean, things can happen. Stranger things can happen. So do I think Rory's going to win? Absolutely. But this thing's not over yet.
No, absolutely not. And, we've got Burns there and Reed and Rose and Lowry and Fleetwood and Clark and Hatton. It's a huge Lee. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right. Raitan. I don't know him very well. Jason Day. I mean, it's huge. There's Koepka is even there. He's tied for 13th. There's Scheffler tied for 16th. Now, is Scotty getting his game back? I don't know.
Well, I think so. It's not definitely at the level that it was a year ago. Like the last 2 years, he's been the absolute best ball striker in the world, and has not shown us that in the last couple of months. It's interesting. Everybody's talking about Scheffler. Mm. If you look at the record books here, though, the one guy that I would have my eye on is Justin Rose.
Okay,
22 times after 22 rounds in his career, he's been within the top five at the Masters. He's got a tremendous record here. He's been runner-up 3 times. He's done everything but win at Augusta. He had it snatched away from him a couple of times. And I don't know. I just look at this and I say to myself, if somebody is owed a green jacket, if somebody really deserves one in that entire top of the leaderboard there, to me it's Justin Rose.
Excellent. He's a fighter. He doesn't give up. He really goes for it, and he always has. And it would be really something to see someone contend against Rory McIlroy, really bring it up. And today, of course, I think will be a significant, a moving day, as it were, as we go into the final round. key historic milestones. I found this online. The largest 36-hole lead was secured with a six-stroke lead, largest in tournament history. Is that just Rory, or was Tiger Woods in that?
Oh, he was in that. But look, you know, the players that are six shots behind or more, which is basically everybody, have to look at it this way. They are not going to get all six of those strokes back at once. They can't stand up on the second tee and try to make, you know, an eagle and say, I'm gonna get two shots back here. You've got to slowly pick away. And I would set a target. If I were chasing Rory McIlroy right now, I would set a target that I want to be within three shots of him tomorrow. That's still going to be a really hard task to overcome. But if you can get within three after the third round, I think that would be ideal.
Excellent. Excellent. One thing they also point out, major milestone, as it's called, he has secured his 10th round of 65 or better in majors, tying Tiger Woods and Dustin Johnson in the modern era. Now, what is Dustin Johnson doing lately?
You know, Dustin Johnson is playing on Live Tour and trying to figure out how to spend all his money.
Oh,
I hope he's happy. Nobody is happy that we don't see him anymore. Nobody's happy that he doesn't come and stroll the fairways of Kapalua anymore like he used to and absolutely demolish that course. I just don't understand, you know, money is important. Yeah, there's no question about it. But to give up what he has given up to play on the Live Tour and give up what I thought was one of the great potential careers in the history of the PGA Tour, to me was just a sad decision.
It is. It was. And still is, since he's still there. But he could come back. Can you come back from Live? How do you do that?
Well, Brooks Koepka did it the ideal way. Now, you got to remember, Brooks Koepka never said anything bad about the PGA Tour. He did everything he had to do, and he paid a big price. My estimate is it probably cost him about $15 million to come back to the PGA Tour. But he's done it the right way, and I think it's going to be a different situation. Let's say Bryson DeChambeau decides he wants to come back to the PGA Tour. It's going to be a lot harder road for a Bryson DeChambeau. And certainly for a guy like Phil Mickelson, I don't think there's any path back for him. And he's kind of too old anyway. But I think the LIV Tour is starting to crumble a little bit. They haven't signed up any good new players this past year. Their TV ratings are abysmal. I mean, there are more people that are watching some of your local golf clubs out at at some of the local courses today than there are watching LIV Golf. I mean, they don't get 100,000 people watching their tournaments. So it's just not working. How much money the Saudis have and can continue to pour into it, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I would certainly like to see some of those top players start gravitating back, and Dustin Johnson would be one of them, and it'd be a long road for him, but I think it would be worth it.
And the two fellows who you said probably won't come back, did they badmouth the PGA Tour? Is that why?
Well, they badmouthed them. They also sued them. Uh-huh. Mickelson sued the PGA Tour. And I remember talking to Mickelson when he was at Kapalua in 2021 after he had won the PGA, and he hadn't been on Maui in a number of years, and he was telling me about how what he really wanted to do while he was there was talk as many guys as possible into going over to the LIV Tour. And I thought that was pretty sad that that's what he was actually doing, playing in the Tournament of Champions at the time.
Yeah, exactly. Not classy at all is the way I look at it. Not classy at all. Now, you're talking about, you know, Maui. We're talking a little bit about Oahu. And have you heard anything about possibly a tournament being played at the beginning of this coming year?
Well, yeah, we're having some pretty active discussions about it, and I think it's a more likely scenario now simply because the PGA Tour is starting to run out of time on their schedule. You know, Brian Rolapp said that they were going to announce the schedule in June. That's not soon enough because that only gives people 6 months to plan a tournament if it's played in early January. And having said that, they've already, it sounds like, settled on the fact that they're going to play in Palm Springs at the American Express the third week in June. That's going to be in January. That's going to be opposite the NFL playoffs in its usual date. I think that's great. But they can't start there. They said they would start in a bigger market. with a high-profile primetime event. The perfect solution to that, to me, would be to come to Oahu, play a big signature event there. Wouldn't look exactly like the old Sony Open, but it would be bigger and better, and it would be prime time, and I think that's the way they ought to start.
Oh, that's lovely. That would make everything, because if we lose both of those tournaments, it really hurts us. We put so much into the visitor industry. That's our prime economic engine. That's the decision that was made years and years and years ago. And, you know, with the weather and everything that's going on here, it's not easy to get people to come. It's expensive. Sorry, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, the other thing is, if we lose those two, I think we'll lose the other two. Because if you only have two tournaments, it's not going to make any sense to bring all the television equipment out once in January, let's say, or February, and once in the fall for Lotte. I don't think those events could stand on their own. It's just too expensive. It takes 5 weeks to ship TV equipment over and back for a tournament. So you need to have at least three or four tournaments going, to end up sort of amortizing your costs over all of it so it's not expensive for each one.
Wow. So, I'm glad those conversations are going well. I hope.
Well, it didn't help that Tiger's taken an absence of leave of absence here because he was a driving force in trying to get this whole new schedule together. And I think things, have slowed down now with the Tiger situation.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this. I've talked to a number of players, a lot of players, and they are all saying, we want to come to Hawaii. No matter what, we want to come to Hawaii.
Oh.
So I think it's not like everybody is saying, oh, it's too far away, it's too expensive, whatever it is. They're all saying, we want to come. And if the players want to do it, that's way more important than Mark Rolfing telling somebody at the PGA Tour we need to do this.
Yes, sir. So I know you told me you'd be in the Big Sky Country watching the Masters.
I am. I got back here. It was a long trip to Augusta and back, but it was well worth it. And now I got to get on a plane on Tuesday and go back to Florida for the Senior PGA Championship. So times are busy right now for me, but that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. And we miss you. Someone said to me this morning, those guys on television right now, where's the man?
Well, the TV times for Golf Channel have shrunk so much. They're just not that many hours anymore because they're showing the Masters on Prime. They're showing the Masters on ESPN. It's all kind of shrunk. So once the tournament starts on Wednesday, there's not nearly as much time for live from the Masters. So that's the way the game is changing.
Yeah, exactly. Mark Rolfing, analyst and commentator, NBC and Golf Channel. It's so wonderful talking with you. Did I leave anything out that you wanted to address?
No. I'm just so happy, that the Masters is going the way that it went. And it'll always be a special one for me because of the award. But you'll be seeing me at Augusta, not necessarily on TV, but hopefully every year for a long time.
Right on. Thank you, Mark. Thank you very much.
Take care, Daniel.
Have a wonderful time. Travel safe. We're going to come back after this. Claude Brousseau is in the clubhouse. He's going to give us a lesson after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
We're supposed to get a break from the rain today, but then there's more rain coming. Yes, it's scheduled for Sunday and Monday, and hopefully by Tuesday it'll not be raining. But it is still raining, and more's coming. So to help you get through the chaos, Aloha Power Kona Low Sale has the Honda generators, the pumps, the chainsaws, the Whackers, the Trimmers, and a whole lot more, and it's 25% off. We have service, parts, accessories for every rider, from home to commercial-sized. You know the drill. Mow it, blow it, bag it, you're done. Get what you need at Aloha Power Equipment, Evile, next to the Costco gas station, and in Waipahu.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range, located in Aiea. Stop by to warm up before your round, or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe, and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Ah, let's bring Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, and he is at Wailea Golf Academy, Wailea Golf Club on Maui, and he's the author of Realize Your Golfing Potential, Unlock the Secrets of a Proficient Short Game. He's a Vision 54 coach, Aimpoint certified, ranked in 2024-2025, best teacher in the state of Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019. Welcome into the clubhouse, Claude.
Good morning, Danielle.
How's it on Maui? Is it raining?
It's not raining right now in Wailea. We had a little bit of rain yesterday on the south side, but it's not raining like we had, you know, the previous week.
Yes.
With that Konalo. So we're open for business and people playing golf.
Oh, good. I'm glad you said that, because usually we do tee times for Wailea. Unfortunately, their computer system is down, which is why you didn't hear me talking about the tee times available at Wailea. But there is some available. For instance, I'm going to give us the tee times. Pele's boys are out on the golf course at Volcano Golf Club. What a spectacular sight. It is fountaining lava, and you're playing golf, you know? Wow, there's like the Stone Age and you. It's 8:32, 9:24, and 10:48 tee times, and Pele's boys are on the course. Makale has an 8:48, a 9:16, and an 11:10. We go to Kauai now at the Lagoons. There's an 8:50 and a 9:28, and Docks on break are on the golf course. There's also Poipu, I'd mention a tee time, but the Boys and Girls Shotgun Tournament is today. So that's what's happening at Poipu Bay. Pearl at Kalaau'au on Oahu, there's an 8:36, a 10:08, 11:50. Lost in the Swing, those boys are at Hawaii Kai, 9:02, 10 o'clock, 11:26. Turtle Bay has an 8:40, a 9:18, 11:02. Jungle Jive. It's kind of cool, isn't it? But in the jungle you go, Raw Hawaiian Country Club. There's the jungle side, and then there's the open side. 9:16, 10:38, 11:30, you'll have a great time. Ava Beach Golf Course, 8:52, 9:20, 10:30. Bayview has an 8:36 and 9:08. And just a reminder, their tee times are open at Wailea on all three golf courses. It's just that they couldn't give us tee times because we have so many things that are down right now because of the weather conditions that are going on. So Claude Brousseau, Director of Player Development, Wailea Golf. What is the lesson you're going to teach us today?
But today I got a few things in the lesson book for your listener. So let's start with, I think, and then we see it during the Master this week, a good strategy is always to aim for the middle of the green for your second shot to the green or third shot. Here's why. You need to look at the probability of how many shots that would cost you if you miss the green on the wrong place, meaning, let's say, the flag or the pin position is just over a bunker, and you will short side yourself. So what we mean short side yourself is that the when you went home, miss your shot, it's difficult to do save your paw. So I suggest for anybody that is a 15 handicapper or more, they should always aim for the middle of the green anytime they have a shot that is longer than 100 yards.
Excellent. And your chances of getting into the hole are much better by going for that middle.
Exactly, because let's say, Daniel, even the top player in the world, the ball is not always doing exactly what they had planned. So let's just have a scenario where you shoot for the middle of the green and the flag is tucked left, and then you pull your shot a little bit. So that means, then now you got a good chance of birdie. And then let's say you shoot for the middle of the green again, direction-wise, we're talking about, and then the flag is on the right side, and then you get that fade or that little slice that you have built in your swing when you miss your shot. Oh, but now you're just closer to the flag, so that gives you a birdie chance. But if then you would always have a better chance to do only, let's call that three shots. If you go for the middle of the green and you're 40 feet from the hole, you may do three putts. But think of it this way, Danielle. If you miss your shot because you go for a flag that is really tucked and then you shortside yourself, you're in the bunker and then you take two shots to get out of the bunker, and then the next time you blade the ball on the other side of the green, and now your numbers add up really, really quick.
I was watching Rory McIlroy yesterday, and he was having a great time aiming for the going for the hole. Did you get a chance? I know you work and you're teaching, but did you get a chance to see any of the Masters?
Yes, I watched it, and today I take the day off to watch it.
Cool.
But let's go with Rory yesterday. He was able to go more for the flag, Danielle, like you said, because he had quite a lot of just pitching wedge in his hand. So for at that level, if you got a pitching wedge, you know, the two players' average carry distance with the pitching wedge is a 145. So when you get a shorter club like this, you can get a little bit, you know, more, they will call that aggressive or going more for chasing the flag.
Fantastic. You were also keeping an eye on Scottie Scheffler. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, but Scottie is you know, number one in the world. He knows how to play. This morning, he already made eagle on hole number two. It just, you know, at the Master, I was fortunate enough to be there, Danielle, in 2004 and 2013. I mean, and they all say it, is if your game is just a little bit off, doesn't need to be way off, it's easy to make bogeys there. And then Scheffler yesterday, his iron play was not up to what he's normally do.
Exactly.
So, but I'm confident that he will do good during the weekend.
Yeah, and when you were watching, I was just looking at he only had three bogeys, Scottie Scheffler, when he was playing. What was that? The last Masters. For the four rounds of the Masters, yeah. Only one double, but 20 birdies. Not bad, you know, 20 birdies and an eagle, you know.
Yeah. No, you're right, Daniel. But the most, I think one of the most important things you said in that is that he had only three bogeys, you know. So the game is about, of course, you need to make birdies, don't get me wrong, but you need to avoid big numbers because For the listener there and the people that play golf just for fun, what happens is that when they miss a shot, it often they don't have the ability that we call bounce back. Scheffler is one of the best. They keep that stats on the tour. So bounce back ability, Danielle, means that, okay, let's say you made double on a hole, he will probably make birdie on the next one. Or if he made bogey, he will make at least par on the next one. So he doesn't have, you know, like a snowball effect of doing a double and then a bogey and then a double again. So that's a good skill to have, and mainly is be smart in your decision, and obviously you need to execute very well too.
Absolutely. This is interesting. I just was reading some of your notes. When I ask the players I coach, what is the proximity to the hole from 100 yards for the tour player? The answer they give me is 10 feet or less. They don't know the reality of golf. Could you expand on that?
No. The from 100 yards, I don't have the stats in front of me, but the proximity to the hole from 100 yards for the tour player will be probably around 20 feet on average. Obviously, Danielle, when we look at the golf on TV, you have to put in perspective that they just show you the best player that weekend, women or men. Then the best player that weekend, their proximity will be closer, but during the average is not that. So that means that for the golfer in general, they need to understand that if they have, let's say, just put that in perspective, if they are a 15 handicapper, you know, that's the probably average out there on the low side of it, and they will hit 5 greens in regulation. So they won't be 10 feet from the flag. It's for the best in the world, the day that everything clicks and they're on the top of their game.
Right on.
I would like to bring that to the next thing that I said, no need to be perfect. I mean, they were asking Rory yesterday in the conference, what do you think Mason, you know, the U.S. amateur champion that played with him the first few days. So he says, what do you think he will learn from you? And I like the answer. He says, hopefully he will see that you don't need to be perfect to be able to score well.
Right on.
You need to learn how to score. And then his answer was, when he was 18, Rory, and played, you know, with better players, he said, before I play with them, I always thought that they never miss shots. Then he said, Mason, we learned that we miss quite a few shots during the round, but we have the abilities to be able to keep scoring from a position where we shouldn't have hit the ball. And I like when they ask him also, so you don't need to be perfect, but he also said that what you need to do is making sure that whatever the situation you are in, try to find something positive about it. Like he hit Rory in the wood and he says, okay, that's fine. I can still punch it out. I got a good short game. I still have a good chance to save my par. So for most of the golfer, though, as soon as they miss a shot, they get frustrated. And they just don't have the abilities because their short game is not good enough to save par, let's say.
Yes, and following up on that, never, you know, getting depressed or upset with yourself. Tyrrell Hatton, was it a poor drive, a poor layup, and then he made eagle anyway? You know, don't knock yourself out because your drive wasn't so great and you figure you had a really lousy layup, because you never know. You know, it's, you just take what comes and then work on it, but don't get frustrated. I think that's one of the biggest problems with the game for a lot of folks, is they get so angry with themselves that they can't see the light.
That's correct, Daniel. And then that doesn't help the performance, that's for sure. When you miss a shot, nobody likes missing shot. But when you miss a shot. The first reflex should be, okay, let's focus on the next one that I will play, do my best on the next one. And then missing shot is part of playing golf. You just don't want to miss too many of them or too badly. So
I like that.
That's the difference.
I love that. Claude Brousseau, thank you so much for being in the clubhouse. Master PGA teaching professional, Wailea Golf Academy, Wailea Maui. Go and get a lesson from Claude Brousseau. Thank you, Claude.
Thank you, Danielle. Aloha.
Aloha. We're coming back. Colin Weston, Mod Golf Weekly Roundup after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the other side. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 Coach Certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
Oh, yes. Colin Weston, the Mod Golf Weekly Roundup. Latest in golf technology, innovation, sustainability, entertainment, wellness news. And Colin just launched a video service called Mod Golf Moments. Colin's new video series. We're going to find out more as you bring him into the clubhouse. Colin Weston, welcome in.
Danielle, my friend, it's good to hear your voice again. How are you?
I'm good. Absolutely. A little wet. We've been wet for about a month. We'll be wet for a few more. April showers bring May flowers.
that's what they say. You're wet. I'm in Vancouver, Canada, in a rainforest north of Seattle. That's our job, to be wet. You're stealing our job description here.
Wait a minute. So you want some of our water?
Okay. What do they say? Careful what you ask for. You get it? No, we get enough water already. Thank you very much. You can have yours.
Yes.
And we'll keep it nice and dry and sunny here in Vancouver today.
Yes. People on the North Shore are hoping their homes are still intact because the water's been coming down. So, yes, it's been pretty intense over the last month. Very intense. But the Mod Golf podcast, you talk with top influencers, entrepreneurs, innovators, disruptors about their vision and ventures. Fabulous. Tell us more.
Well, you should know Mod Golf very well because I've had the pleasure of having you on, Danielle, as a guest a couple of years ago. So, yes, 9 years and over 300 episodes since 2017. So the Mod Golf podcast, just as you described, in the last couple of years, we've branched out and expanded on YouTube with our Mod Golf YouTube channel and also very active on social media, especially Instagram. So yes, doing all kinds of interesting things. Mod Golf Moments, as you mentioned, we just released that series. So on a daily basis, I'm just putting something out there for the world in less than 2 minutes that in golf that's interesting, exciting, engaging, amusing, all these things. And this has really struck a chord and people are loving that.
Oh, that's nice. Absolutely. Is this really a $100 billion a year industry?
Oh, I think it's more than that. Coming back from the PGA show back in January, piggyback with that was the NGCOA Golf Business Conference at the front end that I also attended the first 3 days before the PGA show. And that's something we talked about. And I believe it's way over $100 billion a year industry in the United States now. It's probably at least 10% more. It keeps growing and growing and growing. And a lot of that is because the growth of off-course experiences. Of course, on-course golf, green grass golf is as strong as ever and as diverse as ever. But now with indoor simulators, with private clubs that do that, and entertainment centers and all the top golfs of the world and the other type of venues that do that, it just keeps growing and growing and growing, which is super exciting for all of us in golf.
It is, absolutely. And that's the only way. Give people different ways to experience. If you can't go to the golf course, you want to go and hit the ball anyway, someplace with a nice screen, you know, and you're indoors and not getting wet, even better.
Absolutely. Well, yes. Right now in your backyard, everybody's looking to either, you know, they're not playing golf, they're maybe considering to build an arch today from all the water you have, but yes. You can go and do an indoor simulator place and have a great, whether you just want to grind away in your game like I do as a struggling 16 handicapper, or if you want to go with some friends and have some fun and it's gamified and entertaining, or all the above. So you have those options now, even on extremely wet, soggy days like you're experiencing in Honolulu today.
Yes, you know, and it's across all islands are getting a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But just to give you an idea of the guys and ladies that are out on the golf course, they give themselves names. Pele's boys. Pele, of course, is the goddess of fire. And we have the volcano erupting incredibly on the Big Island, 1,500 feet, just fountaining and fountaining. And you can play Volcano Golf Club and watch the fountaining. You know, you probably might miss a shot, you know, having that view. And then we have the boys and girls shotgun tournament on Kauai at Poipu. But Docs on Break, the doctors on break. Yes, they're out at Kauai Lagoons, and may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Let's see, Lost in the Swing. That's a group of people out at Hawaii Kai. I'm not sure if it's a mixed group. And then there's the Jungle Jive crew at Royal Hawaiian Country Club.
Jungle Jive. I want to play with them. They sound awesome. They sound like so much fun.
Doesn't it? I mean, the creativity amongst the players out. And I just get such a kick out of giving out the names. This is this group. Give yourself a name. When you're creating your Mod Golf television series or online series, when you're talking, do you have people that you invite in to have a conversation about influencers, or do you have the influencers in?
Absolutely. They're interesting enough that I had the pleasure at the show to meet quite a few of them, the ones that are kind of that A level with Bob Dove Sports and some of the guys there with FP, Fat Perez. Hoping to have him on the podcast in the next couple of weeks too. So that's just one of the components that I love to cover is that entertainment piece. And we had that on the Mod Golf podcast. We had a conversation a couple of months ago of how the viewership for YouTube golf is greater now for most PGA golf tournaments. Maybe not the Masters that's going on right now, 'cause that's the big one, but with events like the Internet Invitational that happened last fall, combined on the six videos they put out there, there was over 20 million views for those videos and growing. So this is this real turning point in golf, and it's not one or the other. There's no scarcity that it's taking away from people enjoying and watching PGA golf. It's unlocking a new audience, a younger, more diverse audience. And I, anecdotally, I speak to, when I was in Ireland last year, I just got paired up with a young man, a single, a guy 20 years old at a golf course in Dublin, and we're walking along, and he's only played golf for a year or so. And I asked, how did you get into golf? And he actually said, I started watching golf during COVID on YouTube, and some of the influencers on there, the Grant Horvats of the world and the Brian Bros, watched them, and that's how he got into golf. And that's how a lot of young people are embracing and taking up golf and loving the game.
Yeah, that's really outdoors. Away from their phones. What a good idea.
Absolutely.
Instead of
Absolutely.
Sitting for 20 hours playing games on their computer, they're using their minds and their body. Always a good idea to get out and, you know, get out of the house, guys, gals.
It is. It's interesting you mentioned that with phones and kind of unplugging yourself from technology. And golf has that beautiful way of doing that to get on the course. I know we have so much technology between rangefinders and apps on your phone to track everything and be your digital caddy and all that. But on Mod Golf Moments, one of the posts I did the other day was about the Masters, where Mark Calcavecchi on Tuesday, Mark was runner-up in 1988, so he's there as, you know, one of the kind of distinguished people to be invited. And Mark got kicked off the golf course at the Masters. He got escorted off the property because he was using his cell phone.
Yes.
So what I put out there to the world and asked the question to people to respond to was, is Augusta National and the Masters, are they behind the times with this policy? Or, in fact, are they ahead of the curve? The fact more golf courses and maybe more sporting events should embrace this, where you're enjoying the moment, you're connecting with what's actually going on with your friends and the event, rather than at your phone trying to capture something that you'll probably, quite honestly, never watch again anyway. But you have, but that's what we do.
Yeah, you know, that's the bottom line. You know, why are you, at Augusta National, phones are forbidden, and
yes,
a lot of it has to do with distractions. You know, having people being distracted on their phone when they should be actively engaged in what they're watching, whatever hole they're on, whoever they're following. It's just, it's better for you. It's better for you to give your eyes a break.
Absolutely. It's been proven. It's better for our brains. And then you're just enjoying the sights and the sounds of the smells of the,
yes,
of the event, which
exactly.
As human beings, we've been hardwired for that for tens of thousands of years. So that's one of the things I cover on Mod Golf Moments. And other things, I do things like why things are. Why is a golf hole 4 1/4 inches in diameter? Why that? And I go into the history of that. Why do we have 14 clubs in our bag? Why is the sand so white at Augusta National? So all these things, I'm curious also. So I do these short little videos to answer these questions, and people really love those ones.
That's wonderful. And, you know, you've expanded. I'm curious about sustainability. Recently, I imagine you've had somebody on talking about that, golf technology, innovation, entertainment, wellness. Sustainability, what is the conversation about?
Yeah, great point. And we talk about that a lot. My background, I think, as you may remember, my background is not in golf, in sports at all. It is in architecture, in sport architecture, and sustainable architectural design. So that was 20 years of my career. So that's very important to me and something that I just understand and have brought that over to the golf space. So I find it's really very interesting now that a lot of golf courses now are understanding that being environmentally sustainable will make you economically sustainable, financially sustainable. And this whole idea with golf courses, and sure, you get them on the islands there too. You know, if things keep eroding and water keeps rising, some of these golf courses, some of the holes won't be there anymore. So this idea, this concept of environmental or climate sustainability, climate resilient. You need to be more weather resilient and climate resiliency. So a lot of courses are now putting these measures into place. Whether they're using less water, they're becoming drought tolerant with a lot of the grasses that they grow, and even the automated mowers now that are much more efficient, and they're leaving areas where people never hit golf balls. They heat trace those through technology, and rather than making those green and beautiful and pristine, they just let those go natural and wild, which is better for the environment, better for the wildlife, and also it takes less water, it takes less work and energy and pesticides, so it's everybody wins.
Fantastic. Colin Weston, Mod Golf Weekly Roundup, but you can find the golf innovation stories, many, many more than we've just talked about. Colin's show showcases Mod Golf podcast, okay? I kind of messed this up a little bit, Colin. I apologize. But Colin showcases on his Mod Golf podcast and the Mod Golf YouTube channel at www.mod.golf. And you can find him also at Mod Golf Podcast on Instagram. Did I get that right? Where we can find you?
You nailed it.
Absolutely. I nailed it.
That's a hole in one there.
Thank you. I needed that.
You've got to win.
Thank you so much.
For Saturday morning.
Thank you very much, Colin Weston, for being inside the clubhouse.
My pleasure, my friend.
Aloha. All right, we've got Casey Nakama, Hawaii Golf Hall of Famer, inducted in 2015, Director of Golf, founder and owner, Casey Nakama Golf Development Center, after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Oh, boy, it's still raining. I know. April showers bring May flowers. We got to put the positive spin on this one. But, of course, the showers are getting just a little bit deep. But it is still raining, and more could be coming. Sunday, Monday. Hopefully by Tuesday it's going to be done, but who knows. But to help us through the chaos, Aloha Power is having the Kona Low sale. Honda generators, pumps, yes, chainsaws, whackers, trimmers, and a whole lot more, up to 25% off. We have service and parts and accessories for every rider, from home to commercial sized. You mow it, you blow it, you bag it, and you're done. Get what you need at Aloha Power Equipment in Iwilei next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range located in Iaea. Stop by to warm up before your round or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun. If you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing, schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and three-time PGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning, call Claude at 808-856-9458 or by email, claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's 808-856-9458 and have more fun playing golf.
KORLYNI Honolulu. Casey Nakama, Hawaii Golf Hall of Famer and Director of Golf and founder and owner of the Casey Nakama Golf Development Center and the Newtown Golf Driving Range is open, regardless of the rain. Welcome into the clubhouse, Casey Nakama.
Good morning, Danielle. Actually, right now, we are not opening
We're assessing some damage that we took from the flood, but we are not open at this time.
Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, no, no, no. That's all right. That's all right. That's good to know. I mean, tell us, I mean, everybody's taking such a huge hit from all of this water. Is there anything, you know, what's gone wrong?
This has been crazy. The end of last year, from December till now, we probably have 30 closed days. So we're going to be closed for 30 days going into mid-April and May here. So, you know, that's just part of doing business right now at our place because of the flood runoff. So once we get past this, the weather gets good, we'll fix it all up, and then we can have all the players enjoy themselves, come and practice and eat lunch and everything.
And all the good stuff.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that we got to deal with. We have the flood runoff area for Newtown Estate, so we just got to bear with it and then, you know, get it fixed up and then continue.
Right on, right on. So that's, that's what so many people are going through, and patience is necessary. But, okay, let's change the subject for a minute. Michelle Wie has decided she's going to come out of retirement and play in the 2026 U.S. Women's Open at Riviera Country Club in June. That must be exciting for you. Weren't you her coach for a long time?
You know, I think she's going to just come out for that one tournament.
Yes.
I don't know if she's going to be trying to become a regular player. But, that's exciting for her. You know, she's still pretty young, so she has a lot of game left in her. And I think as her kids are growing up, I think she sees that she has some time and she can get involved. And I think her daughter is starting to play golf a little bit. So I think she's been around the golf course a little bit more. So I think that's kind of perked her competitive side again. So, and she sees all the girls playing, and she knows, you know, and this is something that was on the inside that when we were practicing, we knew that she had a physical advantage over most of the girls. She's legitimately 6 feet. She hits it really far. And, you know, she was decent with her short game and everything. It's just she had her putting issues, which a lot of players go through. But as far as the physical side of hitting the golf ball and playing, that's not a problem. It's just you got to get back into the routine, the consistency, go hit balls. And that's the grind I think that she doesn't want to do again. So I don't think it's going to be a long-term thing where she's going to come out of retirement for, you know, playing more events. But maybe some of the majors she might come out and play.
Yeah, right on, too, because, you know, with children, traveling like that is difficult. But she does have, if she, I think she came, when I said coming out of retirement, so to speak, it was just getting back on the golf course. And in part, that's because this is the last year last time she can take advantage of her victory way back when. Yeah. So she has this one chance to play, but she's also committed to competing in an inaugural season of the WTGL, Women's Tech Based Golf League, that launches in the winter of 2026, or was launched in the winter of 2026. So I just think it's so cool. You know, it's like you said, when you get, you know, the kids are starting to get older and you're not so focused on them, you start focusing back on yourself, and there's so much that you haven't done, you know, and here's a chance for her to get on the golf course and have some fun out there and just do what she does so well. I think it's really exciting that she's done that. I think it's just great.
I think she's going to do well. I mean, it's crazy, you know, and I'm sure, you know, we beat this dog up a bunch of times where everybody says how much ability she has and how much talent she has, and that it's still there. So I hope for the best. I hope she gets it done and has a nice time playing it.
Are you teaching juniors while everything is being put back together?
You know, Danielle, we've been, you know, for our juniors, I've been having a great time watching some of our kids that have developed. A lot of them are playing in college right now. So we had a bunch of kids that went through, and we had a girl, Kelsey Inoue, that's finishing up at St. Martin's, and she's, you know, she had a great career there. She's in her senior year. You know, Raya Nakao and Tara Kanashiro, everyone local golf knows about them, and they're having great years. And Nicole Tanoe from Cal State Northridge, who surprisingly, and she did surprise us, that she won one of the big major tournaments for college this year. And so, which is, you know, when any of these players win major college events, that's really playing golf, you know what we say, and because that's so tough to do. Competition is so good. And, you know, Dane Watanabe out at University of Hawaii is doing great, and taking in all that experience of playing golf with top-level players, that they're going to be future players on the PGA Tour. So that group that went through as junior golfers, they're doing really well, and we have our up-and-coming kids now that's headed for college now. And so for us, my junior golf program, I've changed directions from about 10 years ago to just having the kids come out and play and have fun and get exposed to golf, to the more advanced kids that like it and they want to pursue golfing a little bit more. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a program that is a little bit more strict on what they got to be able to do, and a little bit more disciplined. They got to practice, because when these kids get good enough and have an opportunity to go to college, that helps the parents out a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's a big thing to be in sports and then go into the college. Then you have I think it just gets you ready, your mind and your body. If you've been working out on the golf course, it's a lot, and it develops you and your brain in a much higher level, I think. And then it makes you much more comfortable dealing with college, because you've already been through the scrutiny of playing golf. I'm like,
because I do golf, I'm biased towards golf being one of the greatest games ever, because it teaches these kids about dealing with some frustration, because very rarely we're going to hit the ball exactly where we're trying to hit it, and as much as they practice during the week for a big event, a tournament, or qualifier, sometimes it just doesn't work out, and God, these kids got to deal with this frustration, and we got to overcome these things, and it's going to be like life. Life is going to be like that. There's not going to be, things are not going to go our way, and we're just going to have to deal with it. So this is one of the greatest games for learning mental toughness and how to persevere and just keep on pressing through. And so it's the ultimate on setting a goal and trying to achieve that goal and just put your head down and just keep on going. I tell the kids, hey, you got to bounce like a rubber ball. Once things go down, bounce and get up, you know, and then just continue and let's get going, because in a long term, it's going to work out.
Right on. Spring back.
Spring back. Yeah. Bounce back.
So the high school golf season, is it underway now?
Oh, my God. The high school golf season is a mess this year because of the weather.
Ah.
So I think the OIA is done with their regular season, and they're going to be headed into their divisional championships and then individual, and then headed towards the state championships. But I think the ILH had a problem with their scheduling, because the rain it rained on the days that they had matches at the,
wow.
I don't think they're even halfway through their season, and they got to get it done within the next couple of weeks, because all the playoffs and the state championships is going to be coming up, and the ILH is going to have a tough time scheduling all those matches in.
Wow. We don't think about all that. You know, we're just trying to deal day to day, most of us, you know, with the difficulties the weather brings on. But to get rained out regularly and not be able to get your schedule all put together, is this the culmination of the season, the David Ishii Golf State Championships?
Yes, that's what they're here for, the David Ishii Hawaii State High School Championship.
Right.
You know, I can't remember the last time we've had weather like this. You know, one storm after the other, you know, 1 week after the other, 2 weeks. and another storm comes. I can't remember the last time I think we had weather like this was that that infamous 40 days of rain.
Yes.
And
wasn't that the 80s?
We were still out at Olomana Golf Links, and that place was a mini lake because it's a flood, you know, flood runoff. And I think I just talked to one of the players that go out there. They said it's still underwater. There's a couple of holes that's still underwater there that haven't recovered from the last storm. And here comes another one coming in. But yeah, the last time I recall is that 40 days of rain. And I think as golfers, I think everybody remembers the 40 days of rain because, you know, we couldn't go out and go play golf. And, you know, I feel really bad, Daniel. You know, as golfers, we're just grumbling about not being able to go golf. And you know, I'm talking about my driving range. We've got to repair stuff. But that last few storms that we had really did some damage. So
yes,
there's a lot of people are worse off than we are trying to get their lives back together. So,
yes,
you know, we have some aloha for those guys to get going again. I hope the weather turns around for us.
Right on. And finally, I mean, $1 billion in damage to the state from these storms. You know, fortunately, the federal government has decided to kick in some so that we can get back on our footing and get everybody whole again. Thank you so much for taking time to be on the show. Really enjoyed talking with you. Casey Nakama, Hawaii Golf Hall of Famer, Director of Golf and founder and owner of the Casey Nakama Golf Development Center. How do people stay in touch with you to find out when they can get involved?
Our Golf Development Center, our telephone number is 808-259-7712. Yeah, and Jerry's going to pick up, and we can go from there.
Excellent. That's 808-259-7712. Let's talk again. Thank you so much, Casey.
All right, Daniel. We'll talk again. Thanks.
Thank you. Aloha. Mary B. Porter King, PGA of America First Lady of Golf, and one of the few women to be a rules official at a Ryder Cup and an official at dozens of U.S. men's and women's opens, PGA Championships, and the Masters after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
And want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates, and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
I'm 9 now, but when I was 8, I do things I wasn't supposed to.
You don't talk when people are putting.
Always repair the ball mark.
You keep your own score, so you have to know how to act.
And you gotta tell the truth.
Put a golf club in kids' hands and watch them grow.
If you do certain things that you're not supposed to, you get a shot added to your score. You don't want to do those things.
The First Tee teaches kids values that will impact their communities and the rest of their lives.
If it wasn't for golf, I'd be like my friends, a couch potato.
Visit thefirsttee.org to learn more.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family, invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin.
That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Ah, so what's the weather going to be like? Partly sunny, scattered showers, high 82, northwesterlies to 10 miles per hour, shifting to the south in the afternoon, and a chance of rain, 40%. Tonight, the chance of rain is 60%. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, showers, likely isolated thunderstorms. Hello. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mary B. Porter King, PG of America, First Lady of Golf.
Good morning, Danielle. It's beautiful on Kauai. I don't know if I'll stay here today.
Yeah, we all have to go to Kauai. Ready? Get those planes ready to take off. You've been under some weather conditions lately, right? I mean.
Yeah, we have. It was sort of an angry couple days, but I enjoyed it just because we get so many beautiful days here, and obviously we need rain in our state. So, all things happen for a reason. So
yeah.
It was beautiful. I'm sorry to hear all the floods and that have happened around the state.
But, yeah.
Here we've been pretty much untouched.
I'm so... Well, it's good to hear that. You know, it's good to hear that there is a... And it's sunny. So there is a possibility that a few days more and then we'll be out of it. But, you know, did you just love that commercial for First Tee and HSJGA?
I had it on my list to talk about because they all make me cry. So the one at the Masters where the little girl emulates Jack Nicklaus's putt in 86 on 17, wearing the checkered pants and the yellow shirt, it's so cute. And then the Freddie couple shot out of the trees and the kids talking about I'd be a couch potato like my friends and how great golf is. So that's why I've tried to introduce everyone I know and meet to this wonderful game.
Yes, indeed. I got to ask you, it's the Masters. You know, it's the Masters right now. And when you were a rules official during the Masters?
Yeah, for 5 years I was. Uh-huh.
Wow. What was that like? Tell us about that.
Well, as I sit and watch it, I remember all the holes where I officiated and the incidences that came to me. That I was involved, and there were some really kind of funny ones. My very first year, they kind of keep the newbies on the front nine, so that in those days there weren't as many cameras as there are today. I don't think you could take a breath without being on a camera there. But there wasn't as much coverage on the front side, so I was there, and I didn't have my score yet, so I was with Lou Blakey. Unfortunately, Lou just passed away, one of the top USGA rules officials, or just top official around the world. But Lou was also a little more uptight than I, and I don't remember the player was having difficulty back and forth over the green, and in the bunker, and throwing sand on the green. And you're not supposed to have any sand on the green, and that's part of our responsibility to stop play and make sure everything's cleared off. And there was a group in the fairway waiting for this poor young man that was having a disaster on nine. And they were hands on their hips, hands on their clubs, pacing. They had been there probably 10 minutes. And this poor young man finally holes out. And Lou says, Mary B., you go pull the flag stick, and I'll get the green cleaned off. And I said, Lou, no, I'm not going to do that. And he said, what do you mean? Well, I'm not going to do that. That group in the fairway has been waiting 10 minutes to hit their second shot. And besides that, it's Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, and Gary Player, and I'm not going to tell them they can't hit. So you go pull the flag. So, every hole that I see, I just remember fun stories or little times when you get a little puckered when a player calls you in and there's cameras around. And our goal was not to be seen by cameras. That was one of our goals.
I bet. I mean, you know, it's one thing to be on camera while they're playing and hitting those fabulous shots. It's another thing to be on camera when you have to talk to them about what they may have done wrong.
Correct. I had a funny one with David Duval one year. And that year we had some weather, horrible weather actually. And just before they put the sub pumps to drain all the water off the course. So the course was you know, had some funny things happening where it had sort of bubbles on it, and and David was having a very difficult time. They had started front and back because they had lost time on the course. They needed to get it in for television, and so David, I don't recall what he, how many over he was, but he was quite a bit over, and this was towards the end of where he, where he wasn't playing his best golf.
Right.
Because he was amazing during his career. But he had hit it right in the trees on hole three, which is, as you see, is a very short hole. And he was so deep in there. And so I went back. I was the official, only official on that hole. And I went back with him. And he hit it and hit a tree. Hit it, hit a tree. Oh. He hit it and hit a tree. Finally, he got to where we kept. Yeah, I think he had taken unplayable at one point back in there, too. He finally hit it, and he got it out towards the fairway, short right at the green, and he turned to me and he said, you know, Mary B., do you want to just play out from here? He got it, and he handed me his club. I said, no, you got this. You know, you have this. So I just, I sit and watch it, and I have such great memories of my time there, how lucky I was. It's an amazing experience if you ever get an opportunity just to be on the golf course. You'll all be, and I know they tell you during the telecast that you won't believe what is the difference. It looks in person and on TV are so different. But,
yes.
It's a beautiful place.
I was there on a Wednesday, not for the actual play, and I was enthralled. It's just sort of you're walking along going, wow, this is a wonderland. TV doesn't do it justice. So if you do get a chance to go to Augusta, be sure to how do you get in? I mean, it's expensive, but it's worth it.
Right. And I couldn't tell you how to get in. one of those things that there are some lotteries that you could be lucky, and sometimes I've had friends get in that. So, you know, it'd be worth applying. And usually it's for a practice round, or par three day is really fun as well.
The par three day? Yeah. Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, par three.
Yeah.
And then speaking of par three, if I share another fun story.
Of course. Yes, please.
I had the honor and privilege of knowing Arnold Palmer throughout my professional career. And I was lucky to do a lot of outings with him through the years. And I now run the Arnold Palmer Cup that he left as part of his legacy for collegiate players. But anyway, Arnold was there, and I saw him, and I brought my father that year. And my dad had met him long ago, and he said, oh, I'd love to see Arnold again. And so I saw Arnold, and this is, you know, there's no cell phones there. And I said, oh, my dad would like to say hi. And he said, oh, well, let's go find your dad. And my dad wasn't in the clubhouse. We were in the clubhouse. And now I'm trying to find my dad. And I finally find him. And he spends a good half hour with my dad and just reminiscing times. And so a couple days later, my dad's there and my nephew's there. And it's going to the par three. And I see Gary, Jack, and Arnold coming down the hill. And Arnold spots me, and he turns to Jack, and he says, Jack, do you want to meet Mary B's dad? So he comes over, and he introduces my dad to Jack Nicholson, and my nephew, I thought, was going to faint. I watch things there, and I see things, and it brings such happy, fun memories in my life.
Oh.
As I say, I'm so grateful and fortunate that I had those opportunities.
Yeah. Truly, truly. Now, I know you're watching the Masters because you told me you'd be watching the Masters. Of course, we're watching the Masters. Any thoughts on how things are going? Like, I don't know, some of the players that you've been watching? McIlroy just enthralled me yesterday.
He, you know, it's been fun to watch him since he got the monkey off his back. And he's been talking about that, too. But he's playing with such freedom this week. And yeah, the Masters is the Masters. And you never know what's going to happen. Things can happen, as we've watched every year. You think somebody's got it. And even like McIlroy last year, he stumbled coming in, and shots happen. I mean, it's it's not a stress-free round, no matter if you have won it before or not. It's still one of the most difficult, I think, tournaments to win.
Oh,
besides all the other majors, but it is It's very stressful and very difficult. I mean, if you see players taking time over little short putts, well, I can tell you, those greens are so beautiful but so slippery. You just have to be careful.
And that's the bottom line. Now, we only have like 2 minutes left, and it goes so
I have a long list here.
It goes so fast. You have to promise to be back on again, like not in the next 5 years, something a little bit.
Shout out for Mark Rolfin too, for all he's done for the game of golf, and especially in Hawaii. He's given his heart and soul to the game, and he also gives his heart and soul to children. And he is the reason we have First Tee in Hawaii. And he's been a huge advocate of the HSJGA and our kids, and PGA Junior League, and girls golf, and all the programs that we are involved in. And he was honored, as you know, the other night at the Golf Writers Association at Augusta. So I did speak to him briefly yesterday, and he's still writing Cloud Nine. So I'm just very honored to know him and be associated with him and thank him daily for all he does for others, especially children.
Well, I just go through all of the things you've done for young adults. Junior Solheim Cup captain, Palmer Cup captain, PGA of America, First Lady of Golf. Of course, I mentioned that earlier. You were on the LPGA Tour, a champion, Golf Inns of America Classic, USGA rules official. Everything you have done, Mary B. Porter King, for the game. You know, can say the same about how wonderful you are, and hearing your voice and being having a conversation and listening to your memories of being at Augusta as a rules official. That was absolutely wonderful. And you know, you don't have to promise anything, but I sure hope you'll be on the show sometime.
I would love to. And just so you know, the game has given me way more than I've ever given it. So, and I will keep giving back, because I'll never be able to give more.
You're wonderful. You're absolutely wonderful, First Lady of Golf, Mary B. Porter King. I look forward to our next conversation. And I want to thank the people who make this possible, because, of course, without them, it'd be really expensive. Welcome, the Newtown Driving Range. Yes, right now they're dealing with all of this water and stuff coming downhill. It's a runoff area. It's designed as to be a runoff area, but it's going to have to be repaired once the runoff stops. So the Newtown Driving Range, not open yet, but and pretty soon you'll be able to go up there for good food, good golf, and good fun. All right. Aloha Power, of course, works smarter and faster and a whole lot easier with some really cool equipment. And with their sale of Honda generators, water pumps, a lot of people need water pumps right now, chainsaws, riding, walking mowers, whackers, and a whole lot more. You can get yours today at Aloha Power Equipment, up to 25% off. Open Monday through Saturday at Iwile next to the Costco gas station, and of course also in Waipahu. And the Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. It is the gift that lasts forever. You know, if you're working in a shop, wherever it is, whether it's in a business or in a shop where they're making stuff, you know, somebody says, hey, you want to come and play golf with us? And if you can say, yeah, you don't have to tell them this part. You started playing golf when you were a kid. But you go and you play and you make such nice friends and memories. And it just makes everything feel so good, cozy at work. And, of course, Claude Brousseau, thank you, the master PGA teaching professional at Wailea Golf Academy, Wailea on Maui. Work on your game and, you know, you'll really have a good time. It's just a wonderful sport. I want to thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide.
Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2026.